The following is a presentation of Remnant. I am reaching from the depths of my soul. Hear me pleading. I'm a child, I'm a poor, I am needed. To draw on your virtue, believing.
Hi, this is Jerry Godsey, co-pastor of Remnant. Remnant was begun with one goal, to touch people with God's incredible love. My prayer is that this study will comfort you, challenge you, and bring you one step closer to being the person God wants you to be. If this study is helpful or if you need more information, please drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Well, good morning.
Wow.
The title of today's message is Thankful for Corn. Now, if you weren't here a few weeks ago when I mentioned the reason I was thankful for cheese, I wrote about it in my column yesterday, too. Real quick, for those of you who missed it, my mother had this bright idea. And I'm sure when my mom scripted out in her head that it would be this touching moment where everybody, you know, there would be weeping and you know, people would become missionaries to the Fiji Islands and all kinds of things would happen. And instead what she got was me and my sarcastic son because here's what they did. She passed around this candle. And when the candle got to you, you had to say what you were thankful for. Well, I was on the wrong side of the room. If that happens to you, here's a little hint from your Uncle Jer. If that happens, be on the on the first side of the room. Because after the first, you know, eight or nine people, they've taken all the good stuff to be thankful for. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for my family. They lied about that. They did. Well, when it got to me, what are you going to say? I'm thankful for Jesus. I mean, it's already been done two or three times by the time it got to me. So I said, I'm thankful for cheese. And I handed the candle next to Lynette. I handed the candle to Lynette, and she looked at me like, well, what do I do now? doesn't matter to me. I'm thankful for what I'm thankful for. It's on you. And my mom had this look on her face that I used to get when I was a kid. She would chew on the inside of this lip right here. And I knew that mom ever gave me that look during church, I was about to be beaten. Preferably later, but sometimes right in the middle of church, just come with me. Well, then you got the critter, and critter said, I'm thankful for cheese too. Stole my line. So today's message is thankful for corn. Now, and when Jeremiah tweeted me, he said, well, wait, aren't you thankful for cheese? Said, yeah, I'm still thankful for cheese. And by the way, the only reason I said I was thankful for cheese is because I couldn't think of anything more stupid to say. You know, I could have said yams, because I think that has a good sound. I'm thankful for yams. That just has a good sound to it, you know? My mom's never done that again, by the way, and probably because I ruined it for her. But thankful for corn, and it's taken from Psalm chapter 30, or 130, so turn there if you will, or if you're not, you can follow here. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And I'll tell you why we're thankful for corn. But let's pray. God, I pray that you'll open our hearts. Let us hear what you have to say. God, I pray that what I say today is direct from you, God. Not me, but from you. Thanks, Father. We ask it in your name. Amen. If you had to look at the pilgrims when they landed at Plymouth Rock and wonder if they ever had any idea that the world would become this, that the United States would become this thriving world power that it is, all they knew was it was a place that had stuff. And they were trying to get away, and they wanted to start with some idea of religious freedom. They wanted to start a place where they could worship the way they wanted to worship. They wanted a new beginning. And what they got were hard times. And I was kind of doing some research about Thanksgiving, and here's what I came up with. During that first long winter at Plymouth Colony, 7 times as many graves were made for the dead as home for the living. They made 7 times more graves than they did homes. The ship, which was to bring food and relief, brought 35 more mouths to feed, but not an ounce of provisions. William Brewster rose from an early Plymouth dinner. And listen to this. This is his dinner. A plate of clams and a glass of cold water. Yum, yum. First of all, clams taste like pencil erasers. Just slimier. A glass of, and he thanked God for the abundance of the sea and the treasures hid in the sand. Wow. Anybody whine about their dinner? I whined about my dinner Thanksgiving. I was mad because my turkey was cooked too much. I made it. I had nobody to blame but myself. I cooked it too long. They didn't have much. The early pilgrims didn't have much, but they did have gratitude. And that gratitude has built everything that this country is made of. Everything we have goes back to those early pioneers, those early settlers who braved everything to get here. And go ahead and go to the next slide, Jeremiah. 5 kernels of corn. And thankful for corn goes back to this early tradition, because the early pioneers, the early settlers, the early people in Plymouth Colony would put 5 kernels of corn on each dinner plate at Thanksgiving. And then you were supposed to take one of the kernels of corn and say what you were thankful for, the 5 things you were thankful for. I don't think cheese was on anybody's list at that point, but the 5 kernels of corn, 5 things that they could be thankful for. And here, these are people that are watching family members die all around them. These are people who are starving. These are people who are having trouble. And the reason they had 5 kernels of corn was to remind them that the first landers, the first people who came to Plymouth Colony, their ration of food was 5 kernels of corn a day. 5 kernels of corn. You'd lose some weight on 5 kernels of corn. You know, you eat 2 and you're like, oh, well, I better save the rest for later because I'm full. Wow. Whew, I think I'm going to take a nap. 5 kernels of corn. So I took this verse today, these passages, and I came up with 5 things we can be thankful for. Now look, before we start, let's be honest, nobody in this room has a perfect life. We've all got problems. You got problems. I got problems. All God's children got problems. Right? Do you dwell on your problems, or do you dwell on your thankfulness? If you're like most people, we whine about the things that are wrong instead of giving thanks for the things that are good. And it's just human nature. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Sticks out like a sore thumb. A thumb. What percentage of my body is my thumb? Pretty small, because there's a whole lot of body here. And you were thinking it, I just said it. For some of you, you have really massive hands and really tiny bodies. Your percentage of thumb is a lot bigger. But think about it. I got a paper cut the other day on a cardboard box, and I whined about it for 2 days. Ow, I think. Ow. And then it's like, shut up, baby. But we do that. We kind of look at the bad and we accentuate the bad. And really, as Christians, we've got to look at the good. And so I'm going to give you 5 kernels of corn today, 5 kernels of forgiveness, or 5 kernels of thankfulness we can get from this passage. Okay? So let's look at the first one. The first kernel is the kernel of forgiveness. Verse 3 says, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. God forgives all of our sin, not just some of them. We're the ones who are unforgiving. Think about it. You come to Christ and you say, God, forgive me of my sins. God forgives you all of your sins. He doesn't hold back a few of them and say, oh, okay, I'm not forgiving that one. I'm going to hold that one here because I know you're going to do it again. No, no, he forgives all of our sins. We are the ones who are unforgiving. We are the ones who have trouble forgiving other people, but we also have trouble forgiving ourselves. Amen or ouch? See, it's a lot easier for me to forgive other people than it is for me to forgive me. Nobody is harder on me than I am. Because I have high goals. I have high expectations of myself. And when I don't meet those, man, I get on myself. I walk around hating myself. I hate myself. What's wrong with me? You know, God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. And every time we pick ourselves to pieces, we're basically telling God that he messed up his child. God, you messed up when you made me. God, you should have made me 6'5". You know, a chisel 200 pounds. God, you should have given me more hair. Or at least let me keep what I had. Instead, who am I? I'm me. And I found out that that's all God wants me to be. I don't have to be like my grandpa. I don't have to be like my uncle. Two men that I look up to an incredible amount, both pastors, incredible guys, but I don't have to be them. In fact, I can't be them. One day a guy's visiting his pastor. He picked up a book that was on a stand and he began to read and suddenly shouted, "Glory to God! Praise God!" The pastor, who's not used to hearing that in his house, the pastor looked at the guy and says, "What's wrong with you?" And he says, "Well, look, this book says that in certain places the sea is 5 miles deep." "That's right," said the pastor. "So?" And the guy said, "The Bible says that my sins have been cast into the depth of the sea. If it's that deep, I'm not afraid of them ever coming up ever again. In fact, if you sent a submarine down there, it would crush under the pressure of the water. My sins can never be remembered." 5 miles deep in the sea, and we still go down and dredge them up. Hey, guys. Who the Son sets free. Anybody remember the rest of that verse? Free indeed. Forgiveness is a promise. It's a promise from our Father. It's a provision of the Son. It's a proclamation in the Bible. It's required practice in the church. Not only does God forgive me, that means that I have to forgive other people. I have to forgive the people that are ugly to me. And they're out there. And I don't like to do that. I'll be honest with you, there's people I'd rather not forgive. There's people I'd rather not like. Yeah? I know, not you guys. I know, you guys are all holy, and there's nobody ever, liars. Well, let's be honest, there are people that we would just as soon not forgive. There are people we look at them and think, oh, no, you got nothing. You got nothing coming here, squat. Nothing. And those are the people we have to forgive the most. See, because I have to forgive others because God forgave me. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God, forgive me the way I forgive other people. Well, that puts in perspective, doesn't it? See, now I know it doesn't matter how ugly you are to me. I got to forgive you, not because of you, because of me. I have to forgive you not because you're ugly, because I'm ugly. And I sin. And I know that God's looking down and saying, okay, Godsey, you better make sure this is all right. Forgiveness is so important. So, and we can all give thanks for that. And if you're here this morning and you've never experienced the forgiveness of God, all you have to say, like, this is just how easy this is. You know, we try and make it all, you know, we try to make it real complicated. Well, you have to get on your knees and you have to hold your hands just right. You know, there's a balancing act then, you know. And you got to say these special words. No. You know the special words you have to say? God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. God forgive me. That's it? That's all there is to it? Yep. Pretty simple. In fact, everybody here can do that. I don't care what kind of issues you have. You can say that. Can't you? That's all it takes for God to forgive us. Why? Because he loves us. Now, if you choose not to do that, and you want to walk out here carrying your sins with you, all right. You're stupid, but all right. Remember me? Stupid's a choice. You choose to be stupid. Dumb you're stuck with, but stupid's a choice. And there are people that, hey, look, there are people that are like that. They walk out of here and they, well, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to let God have me. All right. Because you're doing such a great job on your own. Come on, guys. Be thankful for forgiveness. Second kernel. The kernel of healing. Verse 3. He heals all your diseases. Now, first of all, you need to throw out the notion that if you were somehow better or purer or closer to God, you wouldn't suffer or be sick. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Trying to put condemnation on Christians that God loves by telling them that somehow their sin makes them sick. Now, are there sins that cause sick? Sure. I mean, if you're an alcoholic, some of the things that come with that, yeah, that's bringing it on there. And I am not foolish enough to, I know everybody in this room that is dealing with major issues. I get that. I'm here to tell you today, God heals. I believe it in the core of my being. I watched it happen. I know God heals. Now, does that mean that my knees are somehow going to be perfect again and I'm going to start running marathons? Does that mean that everybody gets made completely whole? Yes. My grandmother is completely whole today. Because she's in the presence of Jesus. Here's the thing about healing. Sometimes God says yes, and you're healed right away. Sometimes God says wait. And sometimes God says, I'll do it in my way. Here's what I know. I know it's God's will to heal. I know that. And if you ask me to pray for you and you're sick, I will pray that God heals you right then. And I will keep believing it, and I will believe it, and I will believe it, and I will believe it. And sometimes God doesn't do things the way we do them. God loves you. And I started looking at, thinking about healing. And you know, we had the story of the 10 lepers just a few weeks ago where 10 of them were healed and they walked away and they were healed as they walked away. Only one came back and said, thanks, but 10 of them were healed right away. And Jesus did that. But then I saw the story of Lazarus where Jesus, they told Jesus, hey, Lazarus is sick. You need to come. Jesus said, all right, we'll hang out here for a couple more days. No, you don't get it. He's really sick. He's really, really sick. You need to get over there. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, we got a couple things to do here. Got a volleyball tournament coming. Gonna hang out here for a while. And Lazarus died. And I'm sure everybody thought, okay, hope that was a really good volleyball tournament there, Jesus. Jesus could have made haste and gone right away. In fact, Jesus didn't even have to go. The centurion's son was healed and it just happened right away, and Jesus didn't even have to go. He said, go home. Your kid's fine. No, he's sick. No, go. He's fine. I'll take care of it. I took care of him here. I got wireless. It's good. I got a good signal here. He goes to Lazarus' house, and they said, yo, Jesus, he's dead. And again, my favorite verse of the King James Bible. Jesus said, no, let's go see him. No, he's been dead 3 days. Surely he stinketh. That's a great verse. Anytime you see the word stinketh, that's a great verse. Surely he stinketh. No, I doubt he doesn't. Don't call me Shirley. No. It's a bad joke, and I tell it every time, and I don't care. I got a few jokes. I just keep using them. When I was teaching school, the students would actually finish them for me. Critter and a couple of my friends said they were gonna write a book called Mr. Godseyisms. Because I would start it, and I would say, "That's me." And they'd all say, "Mr. Vegas." They just knew. Life is hard, then you die. They knew them all. Jesus goes to Lazarus' house, and they said, "He's dead." You know, and one of Lazarus' sisters kind of gets to Jesus and say, "Hey, if you'd been here, could have done something." And it was at that point that Jesus said, "Wait a second. Everybody who loves me is going to live. Everybody who believes in me is going to live. Do you believe that?" She said, "Yeah, I know that in the resurrection he's going to live." She had already said, "You know, yesterday you could, if you'd been here yesterday, you would have lived," or 3 days ago, actually, before he started to stink a thing. He would have lived. And yeah, he's going to raise from the dead when there's a resurrection. And Jesus said, no. Do you believe it now? And here's the thing. It's easy for us to believe for healing for other people, or to believe that in the end it's going to happen, or this or that. But do you believe God can heal you now? He heals all your diseases. So let's have faith. But understand, Lazarus died. And Jesus raised him from the dead. And you look at it and you think, well, why? And I can honestly tell you, here's what I can honestly tell you. I don't know. Here's a refreshing view from your pastor. Why doesn't everybody get healed? I don't know. I do know that God sometimes lets us go through things so that we can learn lessons. I know we go through things so other people can learn through us. And if that's the case, and I'm going through something right now because of you, I really want you to hurry up and get it learned. Amen? And do you ever think, if I'm going through this for somebody else, they better get this right. I'm going to suck them in the eye. I'm going to lay hands on them, forget to pray. And sometimes it's just so that God's glory can be shown. Paul, the apostle, guy who wrote, over half the New Testament. You remember him? Do you remember that he had a thorn in the flesh? He said, "I had a thorn in the flesh, and I asked God to take it away, and God didn't take it away." And depending on who you ask, there are some scholars who believe he was a hunchback. Some scholars believe that, and there's one place where he writes, "See how big I have to write." See, he was almost blind. And if this great man like Paul wasn't healed, God does things differently. But here's what I want you to understand. God loves you, and God is going to heal you. God still heals, and we need to be thankful for it. And if you're here today and you're sick, and I know some of you guys are, and I don't mean sick, I mean sick. I pray every day God makes you whole. Every day. And I know it's going to happen. I don't know when. I don't know how. I just know I serve a huge, huge, immensely powerful God. And I thank God for healing. Third thing, the kernel of redemption. Look at verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit? See, we've been redeemed. We were bought with a price we could not pay. We sing a song in church. He paid a debt he did not owe. Everybody remember that song? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. See, I was listening to the pregame show. Here's how your pastor got ready for church this morning. I was going over my notes and listening to the pregame show, the NFL on the NFL Network, and they were talking about Michael Vick. Now, if you don't know who Michael Vick is, you haven't read a newspaper, evidently, in the last couple of years. Michael Vick was an NFL star with the Atlanta Falcons, and evidently not too bright. because he was hanging out with some guys that were doing some wrong things. He was doing some wrong things, and he went to prison for killing dogs, for some other things. And he got out of prison, and everybody said, oh, he's never going to be an NFL quarterback again. He's never going to do this. He's never going to do that. Well, tonight, he's playing against my Chicago Bears, and I hope he has a really bad night. Not because of the dog thing or anything, just because I want the Bears to win. I don't like them to lose. But he's having an incredible year. And they keep talking about redemption. This is redemption for Michael Vick. It's a football game. Now, I'm glad that Michael Vick got his act together. And by the way, part of the thing that helped Michael Vick get his act together was a guy named Tony Dungy, who was the ex-coach of the Baltimore Colts, or that shows how old I am, the Indianapolis Colts. So we're like, were they ever in Baltimore? Yes, they were, way back in the day. And if you have to ask that question, it was before you were born. He was the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, and he is a great Christian man, and he's helped Michael Vick with his life. And Michael Vick will say, God sent Tony Dungy to me. Redemption is not just winning football games. Redemption is seeing a life that was torn apart by sin made new. Redemption is seeing a life that has struggled and has problems that could not save themselves, and then Jesus comes in and saves them. The London Times publishes the prices paid for art objects. Every salesroom in the world, if you buy a piece of art, the London Times records the price. They give the full details of the sale. You can judge the value of the painting by the price paid for it. If I put, you know, a couple of drops of paint on a piece of paper, they look at it and they say, okay, if you pay somebody, they'll take it. But then you see like a Monet or if you could buy the Mona Lisa today, how many millions would it cost? And you know what it is? It's paint on canvas. How do you know how much you're worth? Here it is. Jesus died on the cross for you. See, I got tired of people with bad self-esteem. I'm nothing. No, you're worth more than you can possibly imagine, because Jesus died for you. Yeah, but I'm not rich. Okay. I'm not handsome. All right. Look who you're talking to. I could stick my face in dough and make gorilla cookies. I get that. But here's what I know. I know that I'm valuable. Not because of anything to do with me, but because Jesus died on the cross for me. See, and we get caught up in the corporate, well, he died for the entire world. No, he died for you. Can you really, really grab onto that fact? You are so important to Jesus that he died for you. What is John 3:16? For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son, that whosoever. See, we got the whole world thing there, but you bring it down to the whosoever. You're the whosoever. Why did Jesus die? So that you could live eternally with God. Don't get this twisted. Don't get this messed up and think, oh, he died. No, no. He died for you. If you'd been the only one, he would have done it. Because that's God's plan of redemption. I love the story of a governor back in the day of Pat Neff. Pat Neff, he was the governor of Texas. And he went to Texas prisons and he talked to a bunch of prisoners. They had brought them all. And one by one, he talked to them individually. These guys wanted to be pardoned. They came and talked to him. And one by one, they would all say, well, you know, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, or I was framed, or it was this, or it was that. Finally, one guy came to him and said, you know what, Governor, I did it. I was stupid. I did the wrong thing, and I'm sorry. I've learned my lesson. Guess who got pardoned? The guy who admitted his guilt. See, none of those other guys had ever learned to take responsibility for their actions. None of the rest of those guys were ready to be redeemed. Why? Because they couldn't own up to what they'd done wrong. Let me tell you something. As Christians, we are to repent of our sin. Repent doesn't just mean saying sorry. Sorry. You ever watch two kids on the schoolyard? One of them hits the other, and the teacher says, hey, tell them you're sorry.
Sorry.
It's not sorry. I'm sorry I didn't hit you harder. I'm sorry I got caught. I'm about to be sorry for what I'm going to do you later. Right? Not sorry. Repentance. See, this is part of the redemption we don't talk about. God redeems us. He brings us in our own, but he expects us to change. He wants something different in us. We can't be like everybody else. Can't do it on your own, so God redeemed you. You can be thankful for that. Psalm 40, verse 2 and 3 says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a place to stand, a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Have you been redeemed this morning? See, the problem is we don't always live like we're redeemed. We live like we're still the person that God forgave. We walk around feeling like we're not worth anything. Let me tell you something. You are more worth more than you could possibly imagine. The song of the redeemed. You know, even the angels can't sing the song of the redeemed. The angels look at us and they're just in awe because they know, they don't know what it's like to sing a song that says, Jesus, forgive me my sins. We're redeemed, guys. You can be thankful for that. Fourth kernel, the kernel of love. Sounds like a bad Barry White song, doesn't it? The kernel of love. Look at verse 4 again. He crowns you with love and compassion. Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman was having testimonies or having revival meetings, and a guy stood up at one of his meetings. He says, here's what the guy said. He said, I got off at the Pennsylvania train depot one day as a hobo. For a year, I begged on the streets for a living. One day, I touched a man on the shoulder and said, Mister, please give me some money so I can have something to eat. As soon as I saw his face, I recognized him as my father. And he cried out, Dad, don't you know me? Throwing his arms around me, he cried. Listen to this. I found you. I found you. All I have is yours. All I have is yours. Think of it. That I, a tramp, stood begging my father for a few cents when for 18 years he'd been looking for me to give me all he was worth. Wow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine begging for all of that time? And all this time, your dad's looking for you, trying to give you everything he has. I love the story of the prodigal son, where the prodigal son basically goes to dad and says, hey, Dad, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. Give me my inheritance before you die. And the dad gives it to him, and he goes and he spends it. And you know how it is. As long as you're buying, you got friends. Well, then he ended up with nothing. In fact, he's so low, he's feeding little carob pods to a pig. And if you're a Jewish kid, feeding pigs is probably about as low as you can go. I'm going to feed you, but I can't eat you. It's like having children, I think. It really is. I just thought of that. It's like having kids. And I love the verse that says, when he came to his senses, he said, you know what, I'm going to head home. Even my dad's servants are better off than this. So he goes home, and you hear him practicing the speech as he goes. You know, all right, Dad, I'm sorry. Wait, no. Father, my most omnipotent Father. You know how you practice this stuff, you know? But the Bible says, while he was far off, his father saw him. And the dad ran to him and basically said the same thing. Hey, look, you're home. Throws a big party for him. But I love the part, and we skip over it so much. While he was far off. See, the dad was looking for him. And you need to understand that wherever you go in life, whatever you've done, God's been looking for you. God's been waiting for you to come home. You know, we go and we live our lives and we try and do things on our own. We mess things up. And the whole time's God saying, okay. Okay. Come home. See, wherever we go, whatever we do, we're covered by God's love. Even before you come to know Him. Even before you accept Him, you're covered by God's love. But being rebellious people that we are, we go off on our way. And the whole time, we're like the father in the story of the prodigal son. I can picture that poor dad sitting there, and he wakes up every morning, and he goes to bed each night with the same thought. When's he coming home? When's my son coming home? And every day you spend in sin, God looks at you and says, when are they going to come home? God looks at you, make wrong choices, bad decisions, and He sees you hurt, and His heart goes out to you. But He's not going to make you be good. He's not going to make you serve Him. It's not God's style. He's going to wait for you to come to your senses and come home. That's what forgiveness is all about. That's what redemption is all about. Love and compassion came long before forgiveness and redemption. But they're what it's all about. You got to understand how much God loves you. Isn't it time to end the rebellion? Isn't it time for you to quit living for yourself? Isn't it time for you to quit acting like you got it all figured out when you're as lost as anybody, maybe more? And every day you walk around looking for pennies, begging for scraps. And God says, hey, I got the riches of heaven for you. All you have to do is come home. God hurts when we hurt. I've said it before, I'll continue to say it, that when we sin, we don't just break God's law, we break God's heart. You ever look at your kid make a bad decision and you know it's going to hurt? You know that's really going to leave a mark? And you try and warn them and they say, I got it. Okay. Get the camera, honey. This is going to be good. You know, look, if you're going to break your leg, at least I can send in America's Funniest Videos and make some money on it. I mean, God looks at us from heaven and He says, man, that's going to hurt. Really, you shouldn't do that. And we don't, I got it. And then we get hurt, then we come to God. Here's the thing. When we're hurting, that's when we come to God. When it's, you know, we've broken our leg, oh, God, help me. And God's like, well, I tried to warn you. Don't you understand that God loves you so much? He'll help you keep from hurting yourself if you let Him. He's got love. He's got compassion for us. Final kernel. The kernel of satisfaction and renewal. Look at verse 5. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Not the band. The bird. Although, I saw the eagles the other day on TV. They look pretty good. They're older than me. They look pretty good. Listen to this word. We can be satisfied with our life as we are renewed every day. Now, don't read that the wrong way. Go ahead and bring that up. We can be satisfied with our lives, with our life, and really, I could have just stopped there, as we're renewed every day. Not we're satisfied with our lives because we're renewed every day. We can be satisfied with our life, and we're renewed every day. Every day you wake up, God says, here's a new day. Here's 24 hours. What are you going to do with it? And He says, I'm going to give you strength for today. Now, the problem is we spend today's strength on yesterday's problems or worrying about tomorrow's issues. Well, what if tomorrow you may not even wake up tomorrow morning. So let's just start here. Let's just start with the next 10 minutes and see where we go from here. Don't we do that, though? Don't we worry about, yesterday I said some things, and yeah, okay, fix it if you can. If not, go on. Here's the thing. Holding on to yesterday isn't going to help today. I know people that are in bondage to things that happened to them 30 years ago. Well, I my parents divorced, and so I have issues. Really? 30 years ago? Eat a Dove bar, move to Florida, get over it. Oh, but don't you have any compassion? Yeah, I do. I do. I understand people hurt. I get that. I also understand, how long are you going to let yesterday's pain hurt today? How long are you going to keep walking around carrying this big burden of unforgiveness, because that's what it comes down to? They hurt me. Okay, forgive them. Well, can't do that. Can't or won't? Two different things, right? Can't means I'm not able. Won't says I'm not gonna. Let me tell you something. If you're not forgiving people, it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. Feel me? And that's a different issue. When I hear people talk about how they're, I hate my father. Really? Well, what did he do to you? Oh, well, he did this, he did that. Okay. What did you do today? Oh, well, this was 10 years ago. Okay, what did you do today? Well, it was 10 years ago. Okay, yeah, I get it. So you mean you're just going to not forgive him? That's what you mean. You're just not going to forgive him. You're just going to continue letting him hurt you. And look, guys, I'm not trying to play down past hurts. Look, I had past hurts, man. If anybody could be unforgiving, I could be unforgiving. I was telling somebody at work the other day, honest to goodness, I played football because I had a chance to hit people and hurt them and not get in trouble. I kid you not, I was so angry. I hated my dad, I hated my mom, I hated them. Was so bitter that when my stepmother was, and I will tell you this because you need to hear it, but it's embarrassing to me that I was ever this ugly. Went up to my stepmother while she was pregnant with my soon-to-be half-brother, and I said, I hope your baby dies. And I meant it with every fiber of my being. Who was unhappy? Who's the one who hurt every day? Me. Not my dad. My dad had his new family. He was going on, and everything was fine in his world. He had this kid who was kind of ugly, kind of mean to people, but hey, you know, let him go on. And that's basically the way he looked at it. All right, he's over there, let him, he's going to do his thing. I got this new family to work with. And I was so angry and just hateful and mean and bitter inside, and I didn't like people. I didn't want people like me, and I just carried that hurt. For what? I was the one that was hurting. I was the one that was ruining all my relationships. I was the one that was walking around angry and honest to goodness, some of the things that, it's a wonder I didn't go to jail. But God had compassion on me and loved me and kept me from doing something really stupid. See, I could continue to carry that if I wanted. But I don't want to. I don't want to keep hurting. So I gave it to God. Now, did that mean that I woke up the next morning, everything was hunky-dory? No, I still had issues. And sometimes forgiveness is a process, guys. Sometimes it takes us a while. Sometimes we can't say, well, I'm ready to forgive. We have to say, well, I'm ready to be ready to forgive. And God will work that through us. If you've been really hurt by people, I get that. But don't let them keep hurting you. Don't let them keep ripping you off, because every day is new for you. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, every day is a brand new day. You wake up and God says, I've got everything you need today. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday ended at midnight. Yeah? Tomorrow, we don't know. North Korea may drop the bomb. We don't even know. They really might. They're nuts down there. Kim Jong Il? No, Kim Jong Lulu. I mean, he's just gone. Yeah. Okay? So, let's not even worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow may not get here. What about today? If you're carrying hurts from yesterday into today, that just tells me you haven't forgiven them. If you're worried about tomorrow, that just tells me you're not trusting God like you should. Now, I'm telling you all this. I have to tell it to myself all the time. Look, this is a process, isn't it? This is something we do every day. Wake up every day. Okay, what about tomorrow? Well, don't worry about tomorrow when it gets here. What about today? Well, today I can handle. Today, me and God are okay. We can handle this. We can be satisfied with our... Why do we get dissatisfied with our life? We remember when we had it better, or we look forward to when we have it, we're going to have it better. What about just enjoying now? See, right now, you're in a reasonably comfortable chair. Although after about, 30 minutes in those, you start to lose, feeling with the lower half of your body. I get that. Your feet and your brain no longer communicate. I get that. But nobody shot at you when you came in here. We got all these calories in the back table we don't need, but we still continue to use anyway. We have it pretty good. Why would we be dissatisfied right now? Do we have things? Yeah, we got things going on. Yeah, I stand here. I got ailments all over the place. But I know God's okay. I'm not in any real pain right now, and I'm okay. God, thank you for now. Thank you for today. Thank you for this moment. We are renewed every day. Your youth is renewed every day. Yeah? How come I still got gray hair? Or no hair? Psalm 107:9 says, He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The eagle says, look at this, says that we're renewed like eagles. That's right. The eagle's known for three things: size, strength, and longevity. It's also known for molting every year. You know what happens when they molt? All their feathers go, and they get new ones. Can you think of every day as your annual molt? I mean, think about it. And this sounds weird, I know. Follow me. Every day you wake up, the old has passed away, and you're brand new. Every day when you wake up, all those old raggedy feathers from yesterday, they're gone. Something new today. That's why the psalmist said in the first verse, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We're constantly being renewed, constantly being refreshed, constantly being revived in our souls, and God is the one who does it all. Have we got stuff to be thankful for? You bet. Five kernels. What are your five kernels? I was going to give you little things of corn, but I don't want to do that because it's, first of all, kind of cheesy, and second of all, what are you going to do with corn? But tomorrow when you wake up, find your five kernels. You can start with mine, these. But you've got your own. And thank God for them. You thank God for silent on cell phones. Hey, find your five things to be thankful for. And be thankful. And see if your life doesn't get better. See if your attitude doesn't change. God's good. Let's pray. God, thanks. I am reaching.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.